Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting Christmas episode.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg, the Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away. Arnie.
Very
Batman,
good.
Batman.
Very good. I remember Arnie being Mr. Freeze.
Ice to see you.
that was about the highlight of the film.
Yeah. Hello, Batman. I think it's time for you to chill out. Stuff like that.
Yeah. You've summed up all of his lines in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty much all he did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I liked that Batman film.
Pretty much.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right, I suppose, for a mid-90s Batman film.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, it was. I was thinking of the Michael Keaton one. No, that's not the one.
No, it was after Michael.
George Clooney, wasn't it?
Was it George Clooney? I think it might have been Clooney, yeah.
Who's your favourite Batman?
Christian Bale.
He is a very good one, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, oh, you got a phone call. We'll ignore that.
Yeah, well, it's not ringing, so...
I always liked Michael Keaton. I thought he was really good.
He did the first Batman. With Jack Nicholson.
Movie.
Yeah.
Adam West was the original one where it was all like, kapow!
Yeah. Kablam!
Jillica's Batman. Yeah, pretty much what happened.
The Caped Crusader.
I rate Michael Keaton a lot.
But anyway, we're not talking about Batman. It's Christmas. What's Batman got to do with Christmas? It's a Christmas episode.
He can celebrate Christmas.
In fact, we should be happy that we're even here for this Christmas.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Because we are actually recording this on supposedly day 39 of Cliff High's prediction after the whole Donald Trump, Joe Rogan... Podcast interview. Mm. It was 39 days ago since that happened, and supposedly we're meant to be in the middle of an alien invasion, but I've not seen any. And we live very, very close to two of the main air bases that have had all the drones and, well, supposed drones.
They're not drones.
We've seen those lights for years.
Yeah.
Honestly, where we work, on the field that we work in, for at least 7 years... Mm-hmm. We have seen lights in the sky directly over Mildenhall Air Base, normally about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Do you remember that one where we saw the fighter jets chasing?
Yeah. That was right over our field as well.
Yeah, and then other people we worked with were like, oh, no, it was a helicopter. It's like, I don't know helicopters that can just whiz out of the sky and jets, F-15s can't catch up with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, the rest of you people have been dealing with this for 39 days. We've been dealing with it for years. Yeah. That's why it hasn't been an episode. Yeah. Or at least it hasn't been so far. I haven't really considered it worthy of an episode. But at least we are still here. The nukes haven't dropped, which is what I'm quite happy about.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still able to carry on doing episodes. Whether we're still around actually when this goes out, yeah. You know, we might all be dead by then. Yeah. Or the aliens might have taken over and enslaved us as zoo animals or something like that. So there'll be nobody listening to this podcast. But at least we got the chance to make it.
Very true. we could be submitting to our overlords right now, but who knows?
But we're not.
No.
We're not. F the system.
Yeah.
And the new system.
Yeah, and justice for Greg Wallace. So,
that's a very British thing, but all right, fair enough. I'll let you get away with that one since it's your episode.
I mean, you can edit it out if you want.
No, it's fine.
I don't
mind Greg Wallace. He's the bald guy with the glasses, yeah?
Yeah.
MasterChef.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I always quite liked him.
Well, I mean,
his little quips didn't offend me.
The American listeners and stuff won't know who he is, but yeah.
Nor the rest of the world.
Nor the rest of the world, but for us in the UK, he's a bit of an icon, and I just don't agree with what's happening at the moment.
I think MasterChef in its entirety should just not continue anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Since he's stepped down and he is the face of MasterChef, just like, don't even bother.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, you know, the Generation Game when, what's his name? We mentioned him before.
Well, Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it should have just stopped then.
Yeah.
Jim Davidson, he never did as good a job.
No, he didn't. No.
He never did. So it's just going to go downhill from there. So BBC, pull your finger out, just cancel it.
Yeah. I am actually in the process of boycotting BBC.
I've been doing that for years.
So when a TV licence comes up for renewal, I won't be renewing it, and I will be cancelling all subscriptions to BBC, iPlayer, the whole lot. It's going.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not going to bother.
Let's hope you win that battle then, because I believe if you're capable of receiving a BBC transmission, you have to...
Well, that's where I have the advantage, because my actual TV aerial doesn't work because the person that lived in the house before me cut the actual wire outside of the house. So I can't get an actual aerial for
But do
TV.
You have a Freeview box or anything like that?
No, I have a smart TV, but if I delete the app, the BBC app, I've got no way of watching BBC or anything.
But you have a computer in your house?
No. Well, I do, but it's not on. So...
Well, let's hope that the TV licence man doesn't come in and load up iPlayer then, eh?
If he loads up iPlayer,
you could block the website.
I'll do that then.
Do that.
Whatever it takes to boycott the BBC at my house, I'm going to do it. So,
fair enough.
Screw the BBC.
Good luck to you. Good luck. I'll keep my fingers crossed that you don't get screwed over with that one.
And talking of Christmas, my friend... We have realised... Oh,
yeah, because it's been really Christmassy up to now.
Yeah, yeah. Bar humbug. So, previous years with holidays and things, we haven't had as many downloads, which we understand. It's busy time.
People are not going to work. They're not holidays. Commuting. They're not listening to podcasts.
We get it. So that's why today I thought I'd present a collection of short Christmas stories.
For the three people that are going to listen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, all three of you, hope you enjoy the episode.
Because my original plan was to do dragons, and I thought dragons aren't Christmassy.
Oh, that sounds like a quality episode.
It will be a quality episode, which is why I don't want to do it over Christmas holidays.
Ah, right, yeah, no, fair enough.
Because no one will listen to it.
That might have rescued our Christmas downloads, you know, just ignoring Christmas completely and talking about dragons. Might have done it, but who knows? Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah, next year we'll try something. So I'm going to start off with the folklore tale of Grýla, the Icelandic giantess of Christmas lore.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure you've pronounced that correctly?
Yeah, Grýla.
Because
it's got a Y with a...
You don't have notes, so I can't see them today. I can't...
Greedo?
Question it.
Greedo?
I have no idea.
I'd say Gree because it's got the apostrophe over the
over
Y.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm just thinking of my wife's name and E at the end with the apostrophe.
But that's over an E.
Yeah, but I assume it's the same thing.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, Grýla, a figure from Icelandic folklore, is a giantess with a horrifying appetite for misbehaving children. Unlike the jolly figures of Christmas in other cultures, Grýla is a monstrous ogress who keeps a record of children's misdeeds throughout the year. So that is, you've heard that correct.
Oh, I think you brought this up 2 years ago when we did the really the Christmas episode that really flopped.
Possibly.
Well, I think it was sort of. There was some kind of Icelandic witch or something like that.
Ah, we're getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
It's all linked. But you did hear that correctly. So just like Santa taking a list of naughty and nice, she keeps her eye on misbehaving children. I just want to shout out to creepybonfire.com for this story.
All right. Yeah. Oh, creepy bonfire. Oh, you're already getting ready with a pick your own coal then.
Yeah. As Christmas approaches, she descends from the mountains to hunt for her favourite meal, which is naughty children. Grýla is not just about instilling fear. She's a part of a family of mythical beings, including her husband, Leopoldi, and the Yule Lads, her mischievous sons.
Right, and they eat the children.
Yeah.
Oh, so they don't just give them coal or get them to pick their own coal. It's I'm going to eat you.
Yeah, no, they eat them.
Yeah. If you've been naughty, you're not getting presents, you're getting eaten.
Yeah, and 13 sons. So
that's lucky
for some. That's a lot of children to be eating to feed a family.
You got to feed a family. But, you know, they've got a whole country worth of kids to go through.
Well, Grýla's legend is particularly gruesome, Pirate, because she doesn't just eat the children raw. She's known for making them into stew.
Oh, well, that's a lovely wintertime meal.
Yeah. Well, thinking about it, stew isn't very Christmassy, is it?
Well, not in this country.
It's
definitely a wintertime meal, stew, I always say. And it does make the meat nice and tender. You'd thought that children meat would be nice and tender anyway.
Yeah, because I suppose it's like veal. I never thought I'd to have a conversation on the pod about the texture of children's meat compared to veal.
Neither did I, to be fair, when we started this out.
Yeah, well,
neither of us know about this. We've never tried it ourselves. So,
no.
I
wonder if we can get a cannibal on the pod.
If you are a cannibal, write in.
Yeah.
Let us know how the texture of children meat in stew is.
There was that German cannibal that I don't know if he actually went to prison because the guy that he ate gave him confirmation or gave him his blessing. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was years and years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he gave him his consent to eat him.
Yeah, I don't know if that worked much in a court of law, though. I think he probably still ended up in prison.
That's all right. He's got a sick note.
It's all right. I told him he could do it. Says me, dead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's in his will. So this aspect of the tale adds a chillingly domestic twist to her character, blending the everyday act of cooking with the massacre. The image of Grýla cooking her stew is a stark reminder of the dark undertones present in many traditional Christmas legends. So, obviously, I mentioned that she had kids and everything, and
She didn't eat her own kids, though, did she?
No, she didn't.
No, no matter how naughty they were. No, they just get invited to the crew and go around cannibalising everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point, because some would say children eating children is pretty naughty.
It's pretty naughty, yeah.
So she should probably eat her own children. So then it's just a recurring loop.
But are they actually being good for eating all their dinner before they have the pudding?
That's true. That's a good point.
As long as they eat their vegetables as well.
Imagine that. You eat all your vegetables and everything first. You're like, I think I'm all right for kids, Mum. I've had too much vegetables.
Yeah, I stocked up on potatoes, Mum. I don't need that.
But it is tradition. You must eat children's soup. stew. So
no ice cream.
So she's also known as the mother of the Yule lads, not just Greela the ogress.
Okay.
As I've mentioned, there's 13, but it's described as they are 13 pranksters. So I don't know about eating children being a prank.
It's the ultimate prank.
But what's interesting as well is each one of her children have their own mischief style. So it makes the story more complex.
There's 13 different types of mischief.
Apparently so. Okay. Yeah. I struggle to think of the seven deadly sins, let alone 13 types of mischief.
Same here, to be fair.
Ah, yes. There's...
Let's not go into that right now.
There's deceit. There's...
I don't think that's even one of them.
So, do you remember me saying before about the Yule Cat?
Yeah. The old Yule Cat. I remember that.
A fierce Icelandic Christmas legend. So the Yule Cat, known in Icelandic as Jóakatolin, I think is how
you say it. Don't even bother trying to repeat that.
Is a massive and vicious creature from Icelandic Christmas folklore. This cat is no ordinary feline. It's said to prowl the snowy countryside during the Christmas season, preying on people who haven't received new clothes before Christmas Eve. Now it's all flooding back
to
me.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that. Yeah.
The Yule Cat is not just a pet, but an integral part of the Icelandic Christmas tradition, closely associated with Greela the Ogress and her sons, the Yule Lads.
Ah, so she'll only eat kids that don't have new clothes.
Yeah, it says here, the Yule Cat's unique characteristic is its targeting of individuals based on their fashion.
Oh, right, so you could have been good as you like all year. If you don't have new clothes, then the Yule Cat's going to get you, whereas Greela didn't.
Yeah.
And the 13 kids.
So this aspect of the legend is particularly intriguing.
Iceland really is a harsh place to live, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It intertwines the idea of reward, which is new clothes, with the threat of punishment being eaten by the Yule Cat. It's a tale that goes beyond mere scare tactics, embedding itself into the cultural practices surrounding clothing and gift-giving during the festive season. So I guess it's kind of like a Christmas rule, in a way.
It kind of is, but like for like yourself, a little Josh growing up in Iceland... When he gets his Lego TIE Fighter at Christmas, he'll be like, yeah! And then because he didn't get any new clothes, the Yule Cat comes and takes him out of his bed at night. That's not very fair, is it? You don't even get to play with your Lego TIE Fighter.
That is true. Yeah. I suppose you'd have to ask for... Well, at that point in Iceland, you don't even ask for new clothes. I assume that's part of Christmas.
I would hope so.
Otherwise, you're not.
If you're asking for a Lego TIE Fighter and you get new clothes, you'd be really disappointed until you realise that the Yule Cat isn't going to take you.
Very true, yeah.
And then you'd just be like, well, I got new clothes, but I don't have a Lego TIE Fighter.
I think I'd take the TIE Fighter and risk it, to be honest. But I am at that age now where I actually appreciate clothes and things for Christmas and stuff.
Yeah, so new socks are always welcome.
Yeah, when you're younger, you're like, oh, shower gel, deodorant and socks. I don't need them. And now I'm like mid-30s and I'm like, nah, to be honest, I could actually do with some shower gel and some socks.
I wait for Christmas so I can get socks. Yeah. It's great. Start running out of them or start getting holes in them and stuff like in August, and it's like, no, I will hold out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy myself more because I've only got a few months and I know that I'm going to get 23 pairs.
Yeah. My brother-in-law, Thomas, we asked him, like, what did you want for Christmas? And he genuinely said a bar of soap. And he wasn't even trying to be funny. He actually needed a bar of soap. And then he showed us
£1.49 buy his own soap.
Yeah, but he showed us his bar from last year and it was like a tiny bit left. A
little
like,
sliver of soap.
He's like, I need to replace this. So he just every year asks for a bar of soap.
Did you get him a soap on a rope?
No, I haven't got it for
secrets. It's the new elf on a shelf.
Is it? Yeah. Well, we do Secret Santa with the in-laws, so right. I haven't got Tom this year.
Or have I?
Or have I?
Yeah, there you go. 'Tis a secret.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Safe with me.
Yeah, and the other listeners. Well, they don't know who Dom is, so that's fine.
They don't know who you've got for Christmas either.
I was about to say it then.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, keep that to yourself.
While the Yule Cat is a formidable figure in its own right, its association with Gryla and the Yule Lads adds depth to the folklore. This connection paints a picture of a fearsome family with the Yule Cat as the pet of the terrifying household. So the Yule Cat has been the pet all this time.
She is a witch.
Mm-hmm.
All witches have cats. So, yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. The Yule Cat would go around and mop up all the little kids that got new clothes. No, sorry.
Yeah.
The kids that were good but didn't get new clothes. So that means more meat for the stew.
Yes.
And I'm guessing the cat gets to lick the bowl afterwards.
I would imagine so. So it says the Yule Cat's role complements the activities of the Yule Lads and Gryla, creating a comprehensive narrative of Icelandic Christmas traditions that balance fear with festivity. So I assume that is its role.
It must be.
It collects the kids and they turn them into a stew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the folklore story I have for you.
Right.
The Icelandic folklore. I've got a couple of...
Oh, it was very Christmassy.
Yeah, it was. Bringing terror to Christmas.
Festive cheer and all that.
Yeah. To be fair, there's only so far you can go with like a paranormal Christmas.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
Yeah.
But I have got a couple of unsolved mysteries for you, which... It's quite interesting. Oh,
okay. It's not got anything to do with the Belschnickel this time.
No, I love the Belschnickel. No, it's not the Belschnickel. Do you know, I actually thought about covering that for today, and I thought, I'm sure I've mentioned the Belschnickel before.
I'm pretty sure the last Christmas episode that wasn't, what's it called, the UFO one that we did last year, the first Christmas episode we did was mostly about the Belschnickel.
Yeah. I just love the Belschnickel. The author of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Do you know? No one knows he wrote that. It's a complete mystery.
I always thought it was like Charles Dickens or someone.
Ah,
well, we don't know.
So everyone who celebrates Christmas is familiar with the poem "A Visit from St. Nicholas," aka "Twas the Night Before Christmas." But believe it or not, the origin of this poem has some mystery attached to it. For many years, no one knew who wrote it. Also, shout out to listverse.com.
Is that where you're getting all your information?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, I've got several websites. It was just easier than writing it all out. The poem was anonymously sent to the Sentinel newspaper in New York and first published on December 23rd, 1823.
Wow.
The poem proved enormously popular, but the author's identity was unknown. Finally, in 1844, a professor named Clement Clark Moore claimed credit for writing the poem, which had been sent to the Sentinel by one of Moore's friends. The story goes that Moore was hesitant to take credit for the poem because he was embarrassed by it and considered it unscholarly, which is a great word.
Yeah, I can see that.
However, historians don't believe Moore was the actual author. So a professor named Donald Wayne Foster presented compelling evidence in 2000 that the real author of A Visit from St. Nicholas was actually Henry Livingston Jr., who died in 1828. Foster believed the poem bore a striking resemblance to Livingston's other writings, but was a strange anomaly in Moore's body of work. Some called Moore a sour, unsentimental individual, and it didn't fit his persona. If that makes sense. So,
One
of the most compelling pieces of evidence in favour of Livingston is that the names of Santa's last two reindeer in the poem were originally Dunder and Blixum. and only became Donda and Blitzen because...
Donna.
It's got Donda here.
Is it? That must be a typo. Donna and Blitzen. As in
maybe
Donna,
it's changed,
Donna Kebab.
Maybe it's changed again. We are talking like 18.
Maybe. It was 101 years ago, wasn't it? So, yeah.
So this is to do with a typewriter error. So many years later, Moore wrote out copies of his poem, but committed the same mistake by writing Donda and Blitzen. The words Dunder and Blixen are actually Dutch for thunder and lightning. So Moore spoke no Dutch, but Livingston did speak Dutch.
Okay, fair enough.
Still, after two centuries, the debate rages on about who really wrote 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So it's an unsolved mystery.
It is.
Well, it's a possibility of two people, and apparently the debate rages on to this day.
Yeah. Did either of them have a belly that jiggled like a bowl full of jelly?
I don't know. Moore seems the type.
Yeah. You well with a name like Moore, yeah.
It's stolen valor, man. I have like trouble believing that this guy wrote it if he didn't speak Dutch, but the other guy did.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
passed away, so couldn't claim it.
Well,
so, okay. Are you ready for the other mystery?
The mystery?
The mystery of Matilda Rooney.
Okay.
This one's a little bit freaky.
Is this another old story?
Yeah.
Or a more modern one?
Let's have a look.
We don't know, because it's all on the internet, so it's all modern.
Yeah, 1885.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, okay, yeah. Classic Christmas story.
So this one is a little bit creepy. So
oh, good.
Fits right into our narrative.
Yeah.
So a farmhand...
Not much about Christmas does, so...
No, true. A farmhand named John Larson spent Christmas 1885 with his employers Patrick and Matilda Rooney, an elderly couple who lived just outside of Illinois. They shared several drinks before Larson retired for the evening and went upstairs to bed. Sometime during the night, he underwent a coughing fit and had trouble breathing, but soon drifted back to sleep. When Larson woke up on Christmas morning, traces of soot were on his pillow. Larson went downstairs and was shocked to find Patrick dead in his bedroom. Matilda was nowhere to be found. Later that day, Larson wandered into the kitchen and found a large blackened hole in the floor. It rested alongside what appeared to be the charred remains of a human foot. A pile of ash was inside the hole, and this was discovered to be the remains of Matilda Rooney.
Or just burned a hole in the kitchen floor?
Yeah. So
that's like spontaneous human combustion kind of
spiel. So that is the theory. But it's obviously like it's technically an unsolved mystery, but that's the only conclusion.
The first spontaneous human combustion.
But that's the only conclusion they could draw from it is that Matilda was the victim of spontaneous human combustion, which caused her entire body to catch fire and burn to ashes. The estimated temperature of the fire that consumed her was 1,400 degrees Celsius or 2,500 Fahrenheit. But there were no signs of fire damage other than in that particular spot. It was later determined that Patrick had died of smoke inhalation.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I think that's how he said it. This explained Larson's coughing fit during the night.
And the soot on his pillow, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. No, yeah, that's a fairly reasonable assumption, yeah.
He was spared from death because he slept behind a closed door on the second floor, the other guy. Even though there was speculation that Larson could have murdered Matilda, it seemed impossible for him to have started such a blazing fire without damaging the rest of the house. It's possible that excessive alcohol consumption caused Matilda Rooney to spontaneously combust. A prominent local legend was that she suffered divine retribution from daring to drink so much on Christmas Eve.
It's funny you mention this because like you could have made this a really, really spooky paranormality special doing spontaneous human combustion for Christmas and started out that and done it just, you know, the entire episode on spontaneous human combustion, starting with that story. I am tempted to go off on a tangent now talking about spontaneous human combustion and how those are actually typical symptoms is that there is a small patch, like you say, just a burn patch in the middle of the floor with just like an arm or a leg sticking out that hasn't been burned. but the rest of the body has been consumed by such an infernal blaze of such magnitude that even scientists trying to recreate it find it difficult. Mm. I'm not going to ruin possibly an upcoming episode that we might do on spontaneous human combustion. I'm tempted to do that.
I'm going to issue the challenge of presenting spontaneous human combustion to me at some point.
To you?
Like, as in doing an episode on it.
Do you want to do the episode, or do you want me to do the episode? I already know quite a bit about it.
Judging by your passion, I feel like you should be able to.
Okay.
You should do it.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, it's coming up within the next 3 months. There will be.
Also, am I right in thinking, I could have my stories mixed up here. Is it Great Expectations? Wasn't there spontaneous human combustion in that?
No, it was a coal flicked out of the fire.
Oh.
Landed on her wedding dress that she was still wearing after like 30 years or something.
Ah.
Yeah. But she did burn to death, yeah.
Well, that's a great segue into the last story I've got.
And I think, is Great Expectations considered a Christmas story?
I don't know. I just remember reading it in school.
It's a really old-fashioned Charles Dickens-style thing, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really long-winded.
Yeah. Do you know, I only ever read two books in school, and it was Great Expectations and Lord of the Flies. And
oh, really? You didn't do Mice of Men?
We watched a video. We watched the movie.
Yeah, I know the one with Gary Sinise and John Malkovich.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Was it Lenny and Carl?
That's it, yeah.
No way was it Lenny and Carl.
Yeah, it was Lenny and Carl, yeah.
I wonder if that's what the Simpsons characters are named after.
Might be.
I've only just put that connection.
Yeah.
And that's the one where he's like, just keep smelling the flowers. No, it's George, isn't it? Lenny and George. Is it? Yeah, it is Lenny and George.
Is it George? No, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he's like, what are you doing, George? He's like, just look at the flowers, Lenny.
Maybe it could be then, yeah. It's been so long since I've read the book.
And then one of the guys has a moist glove or whatever for his wife.
We're not going into that anyway.
Anyway, the connection is...
A moist glove is not on the card for today, all right? That's a completely different thing that you're talking about.
But it all links together because it's all Christmas stories. That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So, what you mentioned before about the bride, this one, the legend of the mistletoe bride. Have you heard of this one?
It rings a bell. I'm not going to say I know the story, but the title of it rings a bell.
So, this has been retold for centuries and has taken many forms, and it has also been retold into other books and short stories, movies, TV
shows.
You're
retelling it again.
Yes. So
in Josh style.
While the story...
Wearing a sparkly Star Wars Christmas jumper.
Yes. While the story's true origin is difficult to determine, many have come to believe its roots are in the disappearance of Lord Lovell's bride at the Bramshaw House in Hampshire. Which is one of the most English sentences.
Yeah, very English, said.
Allegedly.
Yeah, if you ever want to convince somebody that you're English, just say that you live at Bramshaw House in Hampshire.
So allegedly, Lord Lovell was preparing to wed a young woman related to Sir John Cope, the owner of Bramshill House. This was around Christmas time, so mistletoe hung throughout the mansion, inspiring the wedding party to play a game. The young bride-to-be would hide somewhere in the mansion. The groomsmen would all seek her out, and whoever found her first would get to kiss her. Weird tradition.
Like the bride-to-be?
Yeah.
I'd be a bit off-put by that game if I was the groom-to-be.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my groomsmen, whoever finds her first, give her a good smooch, why don't you?
I mean, who are we to judge old traditions,
my friend?
It's very bizarre, though. Also, I'm pretty sure there was a horror film that came out not too long ago that was based off of this. Do you remember where the bride plays hide and seek and then the groomsmen, instead of kissing her, try to kill her?
Yeah.
So the bride went to hide at... That rhymes, I love it. The bride went to hide and the wedding party sought to find her.
However, spied?
Sorry. They tried to spy on the bride as she tried to hide. Now that does sound Christmassy when everything rhymes.
They spied on the bride, wouldn't you?
However, the minutes turned to hours and they still could not find her. Eventually, the game turned terribly serious, as no matter where they looked, she remained missing. Not until 50 years later did Lord Leville, still seeking answers to his bride's disappearance, happen to find a secret closet in an upstairs room of the Bramshill house. Inside, he found a wooden chest sealed shut with a lock. Upon opening the chest, he found the nearly unrecognisable remains of his bride.
After 50 years.
50 years. And that is the story of the mistletoe.
The smell didn't give it away or nothing. Like a rotting corpse in a cupboard somewhere.
Nah, they were locked in there. There was no smell getting out.
No, of course not. No, the lining was definitely smell-proof.
What was interesting, I read online that is apparently based on a true story.
Is it really?
I don't know. It sounds very far-fetched
to me. It does. After 50 years of wondering where his bride was, he found her locked in a cupboard that he didn't know about.
Yeah. Very bizarre. Suspicious. There is a new film coming out based on that as well. But
the Mistletoe Bride.
Yeah, the Mistletoe Bride.
Yeah, you just feed her mistletoe. It's poisonous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, because it's white berries, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, do they say never eat white? Always black, sometimes red.
Yeah, something like that.
Don't quote me on that.
Don't take our advice for what berries you should eat.
Yeah, that's not the gospel truth. That's just what I was taught growing up.
Find a specialist book on this subject and trust that rather than, peel it and eat it.
Yeah, and if you have a cesspit at home this Christmas, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
That's another thing. Be clean and hygienic and just flush it no matter what. Let the overflow do the work.
Depends if you're trying to reserve water and things for Christmas. That's just another saying, isn't it?
If you're not attached to the mains, I could see that happening, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Country houses.
Well, yeah, but that's not... that. Okay, yeah, whatever.
I'm just trying to give out some Christmas advice. Different strokes for different folks.
Fair enough. Use ribbon instead of sellotape to be more eco-friendly.
Ah, nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It was that simple.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other Christmas tips. I have got a Christmas joke for you.
Go for it.
Why does Father Christmas have three gardens?
I don't know.
So he can ho, ho, ho.
Oh, my grief.
That's it, folks.
What's the difference between snowmen and snow women?
I know. Yeah, go on.
Snowballs.
That's a good one.
All right, okay. It's going to be a short one because it's Christmas and everybody wants to go home and open their presents and eat lots of turkey and whatnot. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Until after Christmas, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ho, ho, ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Nice to see you all.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.